Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to be talking more about the flesh and getting some good questions on trying to get a real blanket description. And part of the problem we have is that your flesh looks different than anyone else's. My flesh looks different than anyone else's. And it does a real good job of disguising itself. We want to look at our self life objectively, and that's one of our goals. But going into looking at flesh in general, we start with the supposition that there is a war going on. And your flesh will try to keep you from looking at it objectively. So, quick review. We are a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. We're not going to go through identifying all the different parts. We've done that before. I don't want to take up time doing that, but just a quick refresher. Your spirit is either alive or dead. If you have been born again, regenerated, if you now know God, your spirit has been quickened, enlivened. But you were born dead in your spirit. Since Adam, everyone has been born dead in their spirit except Jesus. So we're all in the same boat except him. And in actuality, just as a quick reminder, we have three enemies: the world system, our flesh, and the devil. And the devil has been overcome through Jesus. When he was here, he overcame the devil. He also overcame the world system. The only one of our enemies that he did not overcome is flesh, self-life, because he never had any. This is one of the struggles that we have to learn starting from square one. Our other enemies, the world system and the devil himself and all his buddies, have already been defeated. We are just learning what that looks like. He's a defeated foe, but we need to learn how to act like it. And he shows us how. Now, the flesh is totally different. And he leaves us here. One of the reasons is so that we can learn how to overcome our flesh, our self-life. Now, your flesh, your self-life, was created when your self was trying to get life. God created the beings in Adam to function on this earth as a spirit being that has a soul, lives in a body. When he sinned, when they sinned, when we sinned and died in our spirit, we no longer had access to life. Our soul had been fully getting its life from our spirit. In other words, just think of yourself. You are Adam. You're walking around in the garden. you don't need to eat that garden, what's in the garden, to get life. Your soul is perfectly content because all the life you need, you are getting from spirit. You're not in need. You're getting everything you need from your spirit, which is, it's by your spirit that you are communing with God and with everything else in your surroundings. And you are ruling and reigning and having that authority over all aspects of your life. Now, that doesn't mean you're not eating. You're not expressing emotions or thinking or your will. But they are all working under the authority and umbrella of your spirit. When that spirit dies, your soul is lost. Doesn't mean it's damned or it's gone to hell or anything like that. It just no longer has a source of life. It was like plugged in. Think of a fire hose that has no source of water in and of itself. You have to connect it to the fire hydrant in order to access the water. Well, that's sort of like what our soul was used to doing. It was connected to that fire hydrant. Your soul is not your spirit, but it was fully connected in and had life flowing through it. And so it was effortless. It came right into your soul by your spirit. But that fire, you've been disconnected from that fire hydrant. The fire hydrant's still there, but you've been disconnected because your spirit has died. So your hose, and you tried to connect it to anything and everything, trying to get that life. You still need life to come in. And you'll do whatever it takes to get that life in. And it's a legitimate need. In order for you to function as a fire hose, you need the water. And so you keep on trying to hook up with things, hook up with people, hook up with purpose, hook up with anything in the world. And some things will give you some levels of satisfaction. And you will develop, if I go here, I get some life. If I go over here, I get some life. Now, none of those sources measure up to being hooked up to that fire hydrant, but at least it's keeping you alive. So it's a legitimate need you have, and you are doing the best you can under the circumstances. But now you've been born again, and you are reattached to that fire hydrant. But in the process of trying your utmost to get hooked up to other sources of life, you're no longer a perfect and pristine fire hose. You have kinks. You're dirty on the inside and outside, and you have holes. Your soul is no longer perfectly fit to the fire hydrant. So now that the spirit, your spirit, is flowing through your soul, your hose, repairs need to be done. And those repairs are basically change. And we don't like change. And we're used to putting all our energy and all our effort into getting life, finding it, going out and doing things that give us life, meet our needs in our soul and even in our body. And now that we don't have to do that, we also find we have to relinquish control, and all we need to do is receive the life. But it is so alien now to what we've been doing. We find it really hard and a real struggle, and especially when we're told things that strengthen our own desire to control how we receive that life. We want to be the ones to turn on the power, to turn on the water, to make our own decisions when we receive life, when we don't, and how we receive it, rather than just allowing that spirit, that life, to flow into us. We want to control it. We want to control where it goes. We want to control which holes get patched and which we can live with, which wounds to be healed and which wounds we can live with. Once we've learned to exercise that control, we are hard-pressed to give it up. And that mentality and process and habits, that's our self-life. It's how your self gets its own life. You know, when we say, get a life, well, we got one, and that's the problem, is for a while, God allowed us to get our needs, our soul needs, met without him. But now that you are a spirit being, now that you are connected to him, he will not allow you to continue to interfere with that spirit life flowing into you. Now, he's a kind and gentle and patient God, so he doesn't force himself on you in most ways. Most of the time, he's gives us time to adjust. But this shows us where the difficulty is, that wounds, your wounds are very personal. And when we try to fix them on our terms, when we conclude that, okay, we need to follow this plan that this conference puts in our head, that we need to find a purpose, or we need to learn how to fast, or we need to join this group, there may be nothing wrong with that group or learning to fast or learning a particular focus. But if you are doing it in order for you to control how your healing and freedom takes place, you are still exercising your own self-life. Another way we can look at our flesh is a crutch. And the Lord wants you to be able to go where he sends you and where you choose to go and where you want to go. He wants you to have a free mind, a free will, free emotions. But that's all part of being healed and freed. You can't free yourself. We only cooperate with the process. But because your soul has become so used to doing it itself, and it had to, so it's not like God is critical of your soul. He's not going to hold your flesh against you. But we recognize and realize that these other enemies have already been conquered. Our real battle, our warfare is with our flesh. And it's separating and making a distinction between the soul God gave you that is unique and has its own specific attributes that are what they are. God doesn't value your strengths more than your weaknesses. the soul he gave you is exactly the soul he wants you to have. So he's not giving you credit for it, and he's not holding it against you. But he wants you to learn to distinguish your soul from your self-life, from your flesh. And one of the ways we start doing that is by identifying the goals of our individual flesh. So just start seeing if you, even over time, may not be something you're going through now, but even over time, if you can see yourself, see some of the decisions you've made, see some of the bad choices, or even good choices that you might have made based on what we're going to talk about, and just let the Lord reveal to you an area that maybe you can then ask, Lord, is this flesh? Are you ready to do something about it? Because here's the other problem. You can't fix your flesh through the strength of your flesh. If he starts showing you this is an area of the flesh that needs to change, he's the only one who can change it. But by recognizing that, it no longer will grow in strength in you. Trust him. He knows what he's doing. He's the surgeon. And he will free you from it in his own time and in his own way. So what are the main goals of our flesh? What is our crutch? What does a crutch do? It functions in two main ways. So it has two goals: to get our needs met and to keep ourselves from getting hurt. So our flesh, the crutches we have, fall into those categories by what we use them for. We use our crutches to get around, because we need to get other needs met. And we may have a huge wound, but we still need to hold a job. So we need to learn how to put on a brave face. So we use the strength of our temperament as a crutch to hide our hurt. And we use our crutches also to keep ourselves from getting hurt. When you are on crutches, people understand that you cannot be expected to do certain things, to treat you in a certain way, that there's a certain level of victimhood that goes along with being on crutches. And so we have expectations of ourselves and expectations from others based on our level of woundedness. So we use that, we use our crutches to control expectations. So what is needy flesh? It's what we do, how we use our crutches to get our needs met, to get life. To, it's again how we connect to that fire hydrant and still try to control it. So this aspect of our flesh seeks to control all surrounding circumstances, including others' lives. If we're going to try to get life out of someone else, we're going to want to control them so they are always available to us. We all have flesh, so we all express, to some varying degree or another, needy flesh. And again, needy flesh is just we need life, so it's about getting life into our soul. And then there's protection flesh, which is preventing hurts. Our protecting flesh, crutches, seeks to control by keeping a safe distance from all surrounding circumstances. In other words, if you're on crutches, you expect people to not make demands on you. Nobody's going to ask you to run a marathon. Nobody's going to ask you to help out. Nobody's going to ask you to go beyond your comfort level because they can see you're on crutches. So this provides a level of protection. And we do that to ourselves. Well, we're not comfortable in that situation. We've never done this. And so rather than try to find out, why am I not comfortable? What do I need to do to become comfortable in that situation? We see ourselves as a victim. I've been hurt in relationships. So rather than try to get healed and then enter into a new relationship, we let ourselves off the hook and say, because of my past wounds, I'm going to rely on these crutches to protect me from ever being hurt again. So our protection crutches keep us, give us the authority, give us the right, if you will, to prevent ourselves from being wounded or rejected. This takes a lot of work. Both of these take a lot of work, a lot of energy. And very often what will happen is as you start working with the Lord, allowing him to free you, expose your flesh and remove it, clarity will come in a lot of areas of your life. And you'll look back and you go, why was I so worried about what other people thought? Why did I think this was such a big deal? And it's because it was your crutches trying to maintain control. And again, there was a time when you needed those crutches, but you don't need them now. And there will be times when God will ask you to give him your crutches, and others when he will just kick them right out from under you. Now, just as with the needy flesh, all of us have some level of protection flesh as well. And since we all have both aspects of the flesh, of these crutches, we can understand the stress that arises in our lives when we don't understand the battle raging within. In other words, because we now know, okay, I'm stressed out about this situation because I need to control it, but God's not letting me. So I'm feeling out of control. Feeling out of control is a red flag you are going to want to learn how to recognize and respond to rather than trying to fix. On the one hand, we want to be able to keep and control our environment so that it's close enough and agreeable enough to give us what we want when we want it. We want it to be available. We want to be close to the fire hydrant. But at the same time, we are fearful of its power to reject and hurt us or to keep us from giving what we demand. So we want to control how we receive life and where it goes. And God's not going to allow that. So in a real sense, our flesh is at war with God. And God has said that. He hates your flesh. He doesn't hate you, but his enemy in your life is your flesh. He's already conquered the devil, and he's not scared about what's going on in your life. He's not scared about the economy. He's not scared that you've missed it. Don't worry about any of that. The only thing that he's concerned about through you is your flesh, because that's the only thing that's interfering with his flow through your life. But even that, he has control over. So we want to begin to look at some of the ways your flesh may be manifesting in your life. And we can look at that as, what is the goal of your flesh? And these are just general categories, but again, look at your life, take some time, think about it, let the Lord reveal to you areas. They may be general, they may be specific, they may be on your plate right now, and you've been trying to figure out, why am I not able to get over this mountain? So to start with, a primary goal of the flesh is to keep God from controlling or getting too close to us. Most of us, by experience, have a very poor concept of who God is and how he wants to relate to us. We often think of him as simply just an authority over us, and have rejected and wounded us in the past. So we think toward him, we behave toward him in ways that are simply going to keep us from being wounded again. For instance, we will use smothering control by trying to deserve his blessings and favor, believing that if we are good enough, serve him well enough, treat those he favors well enough, some of that will earn us his love, acceptance, and honor. It will rub off on us. We will somehow, by positioning ourselves in the right way, by doing the right things, we will deserve love. We will deserve having our needs met. Or we'll use rejecting control, rejecting crutches, by keeping him at arm's length, by not acknowledging our weaknesses or our wounds, how we really feel or what we really think or what we really want to do. In other words, developing our own judgment. Somehow we think that honesty will garner his displeasure, that he doesn't really know what we're thinking and feeling and want to do anyway. We may subconsciously or not so subconsciously reject him before he has a chance to reject us, which would look like punishing us for disobedience, or he might ignore us or hurt something or someone we love. What is confusing and fascinating and scary is that both of these can be going on at the same time over the same issue in our lives. Another important goal of the flesh is to keep us from being overwhelmed by circumstances. Because the main goals of the flesh are to gain and maintain control, your flesh is always watching regarding your circumstances, both inwardly and outwardly. This is exhausting, though. But flesh feels good, even when it feels bad, because at least we feel like we're in control. Smothering control of circumstances will be manifested in our attention to future events, everyday details, and both minor and major decisions. And this, by smothering, I mean putting our effort into needing to control all aspects of it. We have a tendency to either go all in or all out. In other words, I don't even want to know about this, or I have to know everything about it because I have to control it all. So smothering is when we have to know everything about it because it's our responsibility to make the right decision, be in control of every aspect of the circumstance, and that's doing that, being in control of everything, will produce life, would give us a good outcome. This can very often just be a distraction. And it can often turn into obsession and result in us being consumed with the cares of this life. This is very often what turns into obsessive compulsive behavior, where we just feel so out of control that we have to be in control of everything to get rid of that feeling. Conversely, rejecting control of our circumstances is demonstrated by someone with the attitude of not being at all affected by circumstances. Like, they don't want to, you know, ignorance is bliss. I don't want to know what's going on in the world. I don't want to know what's going on in my checkbook. I don't want to know what's going on at work. Ignorance is bliss. If I knew what was going on, it might rock my boat. I might have to make a decision. It's just scary. I might have to grow up and do something about it, or I might have to get healed. Even when we need to make decisions or deal with a situation, we leave it for someone else or take the first choice offered to them. even if we later regret it. Like, we make a decision just because we think we have to make a decision, rather than going, okay, I need to spend some time working this through, looking, doing the research, looking at all the options, and making the best decision. This isn't to say that there are no overwhelming circumstances. There certainly are times in most of our lives where any semblance of control is taken out of our hands. But that's different than seeing ourselves as a victim and asking others to accommodate our crutches. The third goal of the flesh is to protect myself from others, to be sure I control others rather than allowing them to control me. And then the fourth goal of the flesh is to keep our emotions suppressed. Very often, this is a cultural thing, but right now it seems like there's a big push to be controlled by our emotions. And I think what we're going to do is go ahead and pick this up next week and go into greater detail about both the goals of the flesh and look at some of the symptoms of, perhaps give you more insight to be able to tell if you are living out of your flesh. Again, this is not so you can fix it, but if God may have been knocking on your door in these areas to show you where you've been living according to the flesh so he can remove it. Because very often, sometimes he removes our flesh without our knowing about it, but very often he wants us to know about it because he wants to be appreciated, he wants to be recognized, and this then gives us an authority to make changes in that area of our lives. So we'll pick it up here next weekend. In the meantime, drop me a line at diane@wecanprepare.org. It's always good to hear from you. And if you haven't already, sign up for the newsletters at wecanprepare.org. Have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.